Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program named for the book of the same name that confronts head-on the core excuse for hating Jews in this generation, a fantasy worthy of the Arabs' 1001 Nights, according to which we Jews did not make the desert bloom and restore our dormant homeland to life. We stole the vibrant, thriving civilization of the venerable Palestinian people whose contributions to humanity are legion. Some 30 years ago, the Fatah terror cultists, in their fifth General Congress, produced a political communique saying, quote, "The Palestinian people have been living in their homes in Palestine from time immemorial. They have enriched human civilization in all spheres. They have always been a people defending their holy land. They held out in the face of the invasions of the Crusaders and the Tatars and have forged epics along with their nation in the battles of Chitin and Ain Jalut. Since the dawn of Islam, the Palestinian people have been the heart of the Arabic and Islamic nation," and so on and so forth. Not an eyedropper's worth of truth in any of this. "They have enriched human civilization in all spheres." This is nothing but the theft of Jewish civilization. There's no record of any Palestinians contributing anything to civilization. And as for fighting at the Battle of Chitin, that was Salah ad-Din, Saladin. He was no Palestinian. He was a Kurd. There's also no record of any Palestinian calling this landscape his holy land. The very concept of this being a holy land is strictly Jewish, that these sons of desert brigands have simply stolen, purloined, pilfered. As Islam is the intellectual property theft of the Jewish religion, Muhammad claimed to be the last in a long biblical line of prophets mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, when he was nothing of the kind. So in our time, the Arabs, the seed of Ishmael, the highwayman, that's what Rashi called him during the Crusades, they have stolen Zionism, Jewish nationalism. They've seen the Jews brutalized by anti-Semitic Nazis in our Holocaust, and so they have their own Holocaust, the Nakba, in which they have been victimized by racist Zionists acting like Nazis. And if the Jews earned the right to a state in Palestine because of the Holocaust, so they have a right to a state because of the Nakba. There's not one original idea in either Islam or the Palestinian narrative that they have not stolen from the Jews. And we will proceed with this week's episode of Phantom Nation after the following message from Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet audio program named for the book of the same name that slays the dragon of lies about us Jews having stolen Palestine from the putatively prehistoric Palestinian Bible, the only allegedly ancient Bible in the world that cannot properly pronounce the name of what they claim to be their ancient homeland. It is the second day, Yud Aleph B'Chodesh Adar Beis Parashas Tzav Tav Shin Ayin Tes, 5779, the first day, Monday, 18 March, 2019, podcasting from the country where the Jews' Bible was written, with other religions claiming ownership of the land too, as today's phantom Palestinians claim the land promised to the Jews in their Bible by God. They say it really belongs to them. That is, you know, what the endless violence here is all about. People say Palestine belongs to the Palestinians, not to the Jews. And in this way, these Ishmaelites resist their fate as the children of Ishmael, who lost his firstborn rights because he was such a wild ass of a man, which the sages of the Jewish people taught means he had the essence of an undomesticated jackass, a wild donkey, albeit in human form. And I think, once again, just yesterday we saw what a beast on two feet Ishmael can be. In Yiddish, that's a behemoth of the Tzvefis. One of them attacked three Jews, minding their own business. He murdered one, another 19-year-old soldier. A second soldier was also wounded and is today fighting for his life. And a rabbi as well, a father of 12 children, he's likewise fighting for his life. This is not the behavior of a wild beast, infected with a kind of spiritual rabies that has him frothing at the mouth, driven to stab Jews. In this case, the demon assassin attacked with his knife. He murdered Gal Kaidan, Hashem Yikom Dimo, son of Jews who left anti-Semitic Russia. He stole his gun, shot the rabbi who had drawn his gun, but lost to the Arab bastard who was faster. Then he stole a car. Actually, I don't know all the details, and they're not important. What is important is seeing in this latest outburst of Arab-Muslim savagery some of the DNA of the evil mental disorder that these barbarians suffer from and inflict upon us. The Arabs seem to have contributed to world culture only two books of note, the Quran and 1001 Nights. The first is a shameless, guiltless theft and plagiarization of the Jewish religion. Islam means submission and points to the story of Abraham's binding of his son Isaac, which the Muslims lie about, and that's in the dishonest core of their religion and even its title. The second book is a string of fairy tales, allegedly the literary creation of Scheherazade, who, of course, against her will, was married to a Qaddafi-type sultan who daily married a virgin, deflowered her at night, and murdered her the next day, married another virgin, and so on and so forth. It's a way of life. But Scheherazade had the wits to begin telling him such a fascinating story, but then stopped with a cliffhanger ending. He was desperate to find out how the story turns out, and she said she would tell him the next day. And she did the next day tell him the ending, and then began a new story that is equally fascinating, and so on and so forth. These primitives love these stories of flying horses, and it's all these fairy tales, and so she survived for 1001 nights by telling one great story after another, which seems to be a metaphor for the Arabs as a whole. They live from day to day, lie to lie, inventing stories of no truth in order to survive. They covet everything we Jews have and have no inhibitions about saying anything to satisfy their appetite. They are all appetite, and the truth is meaningless to them. For example, at Camp David in July 2000, the seven-year delusion of the Oslo peace process abomination ended when Arafat told President Clinton and Prime Minister Barak to their faces that the Jews never had any temples on the Temple Mount, which was a direct destruction of Islamic doctrine and overall the entirety of the Palestinian people's claim to Palestine, is likewise completely bogus. The strife here is quite simply a property dispute. Who owns this real estate? One imagines that every workday around the world in civil courts, there are arguments over who owns what piece of property. You know, Farmer Brown and Farmer Jones dispute the line between them, and they go to court with evidence, photographs, documents, bills of sale, whatever. Here, though, the Palestinians claim to Judea and Samaria is completely without evidence. They don't even have a name for these hills. West Bank is a no-name name, a topographical description. They claim before the whole world that they are the indigenous people, but if so, why don't they speak the one surviving indigenous language, Hebrew? Theirs is a foreign language in the land of Israel. As Arabs, that's a word that was for millennia synonymous with nomad. They claim this land as their ancient homeland. But again, never mind, there's no evidence of that, like Rome of the Caesars that left behind the Forum and the Colosseum and lots of other things, versus so-called Palestinians who built nothing here. Nothing. Before the Zionist Renaissance that emerged in the 19th century, There was no Palestine anywhere except in the minds and memories of Jews and Christians for most of the 14th century since the Muslim imperialists overran the land of Israel. There was no country in their minds called Palestine, a name they only recently began using. They never had any mental image of the borders of a country called Palestine. For them, it was all undifferentiated Syria. It was the League of Nations in 1922 that created a modern jurisdiction called Mandatory Palestine. And for the next biblical generation of 40 years into the 1960s, the Arabs insisted there was no such country as Palestine. It was all southern Syria. And their leader in that period, Haji Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, published a newspaper in Jerusalem that he called Southern Syria to combat the invention of a Palestine that never existed or had any meaning for Muslims. Today, by contrast, they claim to be the ancient landlords of Palestine, that al-Yahud, the Jews, stole from them, which is another fairy tale fit for 1,001 nights. But don't mind, as Muslims, they can justify anything, including murdering Jews like yesterday, because it is Islamic doctrine that once believers take over a land, it's theirs forever, for all time. And al-Yahud never in 14 centuries had the right to a state independent of Muslim tyranny, not when the Quran itself dictates that infidels like them must be oppressed and humiliated for refusing to accept that Islam is the correct religion. The Jews for centuries lived in Muslim countries and had to pay a huge fine for refusing to convert. It was called the Jizya tax. In Algeria, that I know best, in the 18th century, one yearly ritual was a public ceremony in which the rabbi of the community had to present a barrel of coins, for a lot of money, to the pasha and receive a slap in the face from him for refusing to convert to the one true faith. Islam, you see, like Nazism, like communism, is a totalitarian culture, and it's logical that all three ideologies are rooted in an obsessive, controlling hatred of Jews.
עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, האומר הקדוש ברוך הוא. עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. 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 עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, האומר לקדוש ברוך הוא. עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר, בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד. בסדר גמור תסתדר לבד. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר
בלעדיך. בונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. בונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך.
The Tamar Yona Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yona. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yona Show.
So we left off with the primal need of these Arabs, these Muslims, to murder Jews, as we saw yesterday, for the umpteenth time. And it's no coincidence, I think, that this violence, this homicidal violence, calls to mind the foundational prohibition of the Jewish faith against human sacrifice in the name of religion. Make no mistake, the murder yesterday of another Jew was a religious act. These barbaric Arabs claim to be the descendants of the Canaanites, which completely contradicts their own historians who accept that the Arab invasion took place in the 7th century, roughly 1,000 years after the Canaanites disappeared from human history. On the other hand, while history based on evidence, as the Greek father of historiography Herodotus taught us, a history that shows no connection between today's Arab occupiers and the Canaanites, nonetheless, there is an eerie connection, if not historic. It's spiritual. Those Canaanites were arguably the worst human beings on the planet, who practiced human sacrifice like the Aztecs. They were into child sacrifice, every sexual perversion known to man. And it's no secret that the Arabs are a very homosexual people. Arafat kept a harem of boys, orphans of his agents, made orphans by Israelis who killed them, whom he raised to be his boy toy sex partners in nightly orgies, and later his bodyguards. Interesting name, though, Canaan, the correct way of saying Canaan. The word Canaan in Hebrew is four letters long. The first three of them are the verbal root, kaf nun ayin, meaning to go down, to lower oneself, commonly used in the Nifal and Hifil conjugations. The passive infinitive lehikana is to surrender, give up, go down on one's knees in submission. In the Hifil conjugation, lahachnia, it's to defeat someone, to make him go down on his knees. And one may argue that the Canaanites were the lowest of the low who went down and submitted to every ugly human urge, reflex, and behavior. Sort of like today's liberals who smile on infanticide as a woman's right. The Canaanites licensed themselves to do anything that gave them pleasure. So it was not a random decision by God, by the Holy One, blessed be He, to stage the famous Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, where he did, smack dab in the middle of the land of Canaan, on the future Temple Mount. All around the future Jerusalem in Abraham's time were Canaanites of the seed of Canaan, one of the four sons of Ham, Noah's problem child who committed a sexual offense against his own father, versus Avraham, who was a 10th-generation descendant of Ham's brother Shem. The binding took place in the land promised to Avraham, land that his seed would take away from the Canaanites and become home to the Shemites. That's the original pronunciation, by the way, of the modern word Semite. One of the lies told about Israel is that since the Arabs are Semites too, they can't be anti-Semitic. Oh, yes, they can, because they're not Semites, they're Hamites. We Jews practice matrilineal descent. Ishmael's father was Abraham, true, a Semite, but not his mother. His mother was Hagar, the daughter of another son of Ham. The Arabs are Hamites. Then, 400 years after the binding of Isaac, Abraham's great-grandson's great-grandson, Moses, led the children of Israel to freedom. These children, named for Abraham's grandson, Jacob, Israel, a people that had gestated in the belly of Egypt another brother of Canaan. God seems to have wanted the Shemites to dispossess the Hamitic Canaanites from this land, located at the nexus of the three greatest continents, and turn it into an international crossroads as a light to the nations, which we have done. And because we have, our Hamitic, Ishmaelitic neighbors remain as murderously envious of us as ever. Here we are, closing in on 4,000 years after the promise of this land was made to Abraham the Semite. The sons of Ham continue to resist the resurrection of this land by Al Yehud over the last century and a half, that the Muslims had maintained as barren wasteland for 14 centuries before then, a mournful landscape. The great American novelist Herman Melville, author of Moby Dick, was here in the year 1857, and he described the Holy Land as, quote, a caked, depopulated hell. And it goes without saying he did not meet one Arab who called himself a Palestinian. And not only are we murdered all the time by these savage people, these Arabs, these barbaric Muslims, with absolutely nothing Palestinian about them, they are supported and cheered on by scores of goyim, a word meaning in Hebrew nations. That's all it means. There's nothing inherently derogatory about the word. But as I record this podcast in Geneva, Switzerland, the United Nations Human Rights Council is meeting to accuse Israel of war crimes for defending itself against mobs of tens of thousands of homicidal Muslim maniacs at the barrier with the artificial Gaza Strip. Those who sit in judgment of us today in Switzerland see us as racist, cruel war criminals, a murderous people who stole another people's entire ancient homeland and prevents our victims, the victims of Zionism, from returning to their ancient ancestral sod. The council is scheduled to discuss a report on the violence over the last year along the Gaza barrier, a report written by anti-Jews suffering from a kind of hysterical blindness. They do not see the stone-throwing, they do not see the Molotov cocktail-throwing mobs of crazed sons of Ishmael, that wild ass of a teenager, when his father expelled him from his family and community, a teenager. The authors of this indictment of the IDF for war crimes are blind to the attempts over the last year to break through the barrier in order to invade a nearby Jewish family home and stab all the Jews inside to death, God forbid. All the authors see is Jews defending themselves, which they see as aggression. The anti-Jew is witness to Jewish self-defense, but sees aggression. During the last year of riots by the barbarians along the Gaza barrier, I saw in the MSM reportage on how the rioters were demanding to be allowed to return to their ancient homes. And never mind, 9 out of 10 of them were never refugees. They originate from migrant workers from all over the Arab world who flooded into mandatory Palestine and got caught in the war in 1948. When the League of Nations created Palestine, the Arabs came in by the thousands, exactly as Arabs to this day sustain themselves in Judea and Samaria by working for Jews. In other words, the Palestinian narrative is this generation's anti-Semitic passion play. Medieval Catholic Europe liked to stage public entertainments acting out the crucifixion of one of the hundreds of thousands of Jews murdered like this by Rome, which provided an opportunity for the audience to hiss and boo at the Jews who, not Rome, they believed, were responsible for the crucifixion of this one Jew. Today, the Jews every month are scolded in Geneva by the UNHRC for our alleged 24/7 abuse of the authentic landlords of the West Bank, land we stole and won't give back. Thank you.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
So we left off with the folk tale of the theft of Balestine from its rightful owners that is in the head of Ilhan Omar and that other Muslim woman now in the U.S. Congress. And it's a pity the so-called leaders of the American Jewish community are missing an opportunity to instruct fellow Americans on Islam, to see beyond her, see beyond these two women, and to judge today's Palestinian narrative, which is the crucifixion of the Palestinians by the same people who killed Jesus. Islam seems to be in its cultural development where European Christians were in the Middle Ages when staging those passion plays of Jew hatred that were perfectly normal back then and remain so today in the Palestinian narrative. And this is why the upcoming Kushner-Greenblatt deal of the century is as doomed as every other peace plan, because all have been remedies based on a misdiagnosis of the endless hemorrhaging of Jewish blood here. It's basic to the anti-Jew mind to see the Arabs here as victims of Israeli violence when the truth is just the opposite. While on very rare occasions, over most of a century, an individual like Ami Popper or Baruch Goldstein succumbs to behaving like an Arab and goes on a rampage. But otherwise, the norm is what we saw yesterday and see all the time. These random murders by these volunteer assassins, self-starting, sent by no terror mastermind. It is a religious violence that has nothing to do with the absence of a state for a nation called Palestinians. The Arabs here have been turning down peace plans since the 1920s. All peace plans, because they include an independent Jewish state within any borders, and certainly they cannot deal with any state in which the Jews dominate in Jerusalem. The conflict has never been about a division of the real estate. As my book shows, the invention of the Palestinians was as much a creation of the Jewish left as the Arabs, when the Arabs all around us in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Libya, Sudan have proven to be incompetent as nation builders, and the Arabs here are no different. For 25 years of the Oslo abomination, based on yet another division of our promised land, the Arabs in Ramallah and the Arabs in Gaza have never been able to unite and form a united national identity, a corporate unitary national identity. In the heyday of the PLO, the murder cultists used political names for their cult gangs. The Popular Front, that was stolen from Europe, the idea. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, not to be confused with the Democratic Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, not to be confused with the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine General Command, not to be confused with the Palestine Liberation Front, the PLF, and so on and so forth. Versus today, when the leading gangs in Gaza all use Islamic names. Hamas, that's the Muslim Brotherhood. Al-Qaeda, Islamic Jihad. No need to wonder what their philosophy is. In the 1960s, 70s, 80s, the language of the Jew killers here was pseudo-political, pseudo-nationalistic. Today, it has reverted to the age-old religious idiom, which is where it used to be, and which is closer to the truth, because these Arabs here are nothing but the sons of Ishmael, who has never gotten over the loss of his status as the firstborn inheritor of Avraham, who had no choice but to expel him. Today, the term Israeli-Palestinian conflict has replaced the Arab-Israeli conflict, which used to be the name in the 50s and the 60s. It all continues the age-old hostility to Jews after anti-Semitism fell into disrepute at Auschwitz. Jew hatred is a shapeshifter from generation to generation. It's a chameleon, eternally at war with the chosen people, determined to keep us from fulfilling the will of God, the God that created us as a people. The history of Christianity and Islam are alike in this regard, each one claiming to have replaced the Jews after God rejected them. And never mind that the very same book, the Bible, that records the covenant also records that God will never do that. God is not a human being who breaks his word. Christians say the Old Testament, as they call it, became their possession because the Jews stopped being Jews by killing their Messiah, who also happened to be God himself. The Catholics to this day claim to be Veris Yisrael, the real Israel. I once saw the publicity-hungry pundit Ann Coulter, who more than once has bared her fangs at the Jews in America, say that as a Christian, she is a perfected Jew. And never mind the outrageous, audacious claim based on absolutely no knowledge of Jewishness, and in particular of our Bible. Oh, she may say she has read the Bible, many parts of it, but for sure, only in translation. Everybody knows that much is lost in translation. Everybody claims the heritage and spiritual legacy of the Jews, but only the Jews are the rightful owners. One of my amusements has been watching Christian preachers over the years on television expounding something in the Old Testament, as they call it, with interpretations that could not be more wrong-headed. There are, of course, mistranslations, and in general, the cliche is true, much is lost in translation. Subtlety is wordplay, multiple meanings that cannot be translated. Some mistakes are minor, some are intolerably wrong. For example, the Ten Commandments does not say, as it does in the King James Version, thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. The Hebrew language, just like the English language, has two separate verbs. When a cowboy out on the range draws his pistol and shoots a rattlesnake about to strike, he does not murder the snake, he kills it. It is a huge mistake in the otherwise worthy King James translation. Yet Ann Coulter claims to be a perfected Jew, and one is left speechless at the dishonesty of this Presbyterian woman. That's one of the most anti-Jew of churches, by the way. Ironically, she's from New Canaan, Connecticut, who, like Episcopalian James Baker III from Texas, has an episode or two in her past of hostility to the Jewish people. The void of intellectual honesty here is most annoying, breathtaking, really. How can she be a perfected Jew when she knows nothing about what it means to be a Jew? Then there are the Muslims, who likewise claim to be the real Jews. This is the meaning of the Gold Dome in Jerusalem, built smack dab on the site of our two temples, because they, the Muslims, are now the legal and rightful owners of this holy place. Christianity and Islam are both offshoots of the Jewish people and our religion. No one would deny that. On the contrary, they both claim that, and both in a similar way modified our religion that believes in one God, who we have no idea what he looks like, by adding a man at his side, God and Jesus, Allah and Muhammad. But there the similarity ends, although Christians behaved like savage barbarians for 2,000 years towards us and among themselves in their endless wars. Their man, Jesus, nonetheless, stands out for his opposition to violence. His gentle Jesus turned the other cheek, the Lamb of God, versus Muhammad, a psychopathic pedophile, rapist, champion, hedgehopper, versus, as the Muslims parallel, holy city, Mecca, which is a true mirror image, reverse image of the openness of the Jewish people. The Muslims bar any non-Muslim from their holy city. If you're not a Muslim and you're caught inside, I think Sharia law allows any believer to murder you. Yeah, we're two very, very different cultures, ours and theirs, and that's what this violence is all about. Okay, that's it for today, and if you appreciate this podcast, one way to say thanks is buying my book, Phantom Nation, which some have said must be read by every Jewish university student in the English-speaking countries. That will immunize him and her from the poison of Palestinian nationalism in our time that took the place of the anti-Semitism, that took the place of the deicide charge. The book's available online at Gevin Publishing, also on Amazon in hardcover or a much cheaper Kindle ebook. This week's music was provided by Yehuda Glantz and by David Gerwitz. And as always, we conclude with Yosef Karduner. Until next time, I'm Shai Bentekoa.
גלויותינו לחצרות קודשך, לשמור חוקיך ולעשות רצונך ולעובדך בלבב שלם. לשמך הגדול, הגדול והקדוש, על שחייתנו וקיימתנו, כן תחיינו ותקיימנו. את הסוף גלויותינו לחצרות קודשך, לשמור חוקיך ולעשות רצונך ולעובדך בלבב.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.